Amen. Praise be to God. God is so abundantly graceful to all of us. And like Peter says, His second grace is in our spouses. Tomorrow will be 35 years I married this beautiful woman. And I'm so grateful to God for her life. Guys, to you younger couples, it can be done by God's grace. And I think He gives a bigger portion to the ladies, especially in my case, for I'm not easy to deal with. And it's a constant reminder. And I thank God for my wife that is a lot more merciful than I am. What an expression of God. Let's together please read the Apostles' Creed, and then later we'll stand for our portion of the Gospel. And grandfather, glasses don't work with tears. Hold on. One day there'll be no more tears. Together. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For our portion of the Gospel of the Lord, those who can remain standing, please do so. This is from Luke. Our portion is really from Matthew, but it is the same account in Luke. And today, because of the words in the translation of King James Version, I'm going to be using that. And I know it sounds a little wooden to us, but as our Textus Receptus, and I think that my Puritan brothers will be proud of me today. Praise God for them too. Let's read. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit. I'm sorry, Luke 4, 1 through 13. I'm sorry. The portion is from Matthew 4, 1 through 11, so you can see the similarity. But here we got three more verses and some key words that I want to use later. I'm sorry. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days He did eat nothing. And when they were ended, He afterward hungered. And the devil said unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, The man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, it shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him in the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Praise be to God for His word. Please be seated. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Father, for this moment that you thought worthwhile before we were. Thank you for your loving kindness, so beautifully expressed in you giving your Son, Holy God, for sin for man. Lord, thank you for not only living the perfect life on our behalf in your atoning death on the cross for us, for the hell that we deserved, Lord, you took for us to take it away from us that we may be with you forever. But Lord, that you give us your Holy Spirit, Holy God and sinful man, enabling us to have communion with you through sacrament and word. Lord, to hear from you as we read your word. Oh Lord, to know that we are forgiven. Oh Lord, that our life before you, Holy God, is a life of repentance, and that you love us, for we are yours. What a wonderful God we serve. Oh Lord, be with us. Forgive us of our sins, especially mine, for there are many, that I may proclaim your gospel clearly here. Oh Father, hold our pastors here humbly, that we may never darken your counsel. Oh, speak without wisdom, your wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we trust in all that you will do for your glory. Amen. Amen. I have entitled the sermon today, "But by Every Word of God." And that is one of the reasons why I chose the King James translation, because it's mentioned there that way. Beginning with verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And this is another reason why I chose this portion instead of what was for us from Matthew. Because here it mentions from the Jordan. He had just been baptized. And that's what we spoke about last time I was with you. And that our baptism is done perfectly in Him, not us. And I think that was made clear. But everything to our lives is that way. He lived the perfect life on our behalf for us, so that we now can stand before God and call Him Abba. Oh, praise Him. This is touching His humanity, for it needs strengthening. This is how we can relate to Him. This is how we identify with Him. He weakens Himself. He fasted from glory for 33 years. 40 days was nothing. To be empowered, to be compelled for sacred work. This is why the word here, led, in the Greek, ago. It is not something that somebody tells you and you go and do. No. This is like somebody literally grabbing you and taking you somewhere for a specific task. Not on your own doing, but somebody compelling you, taking you to do something. I would have seen the desert, this wilderness. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I would have not gone. I don't like the beach that my wife loves. The pastor loves to go to, doesn't get to go, but says he is happy with knowing that it's there. I like looking at the buildings that men built on it, on sinking sand, and they stand for 30, 40 stories in glass and cement and steel. That I like. The sand, no. My wife gets me there once in a while with a hot dog. Now you see my weakness. I love hot dogs. And this week I had two in church, and I had forgotten, and the ladies called me, and the pastor called me, and I'm like, oh, I forgot. And boy, it is great to be in a loving church. Believe me, it is great to be here. And to hear pastor talk of communion, and maybe every Sunday. I recall Rich Mullins, the author of that song, My God, And he was accused of wanting to go to the Church of Rome, for they had communion every day. You see, he had bouts with depression, and he needed communion often. And his church gave it to him every 4-6 weeks or special occasion. Good Lord. We need this. And I praise God that now we've increased it to the third Wednesday, and we can have it even more intimately in the cafeteria together. We need this. This constant reminder that He was broken for the broken to build us in Him. We need this, brothers and sisters. We need this. For Christ is for us. He is for the incapable humanity. And He does all these things. And He is now a mature man, like the first Adam was mature. He's 30 years old. And this is a very important point for us to always have a grasp on. This is what the second Adam does, that the first Adam failed. And it's part of creation. When God created all things, He created it mature, with the appearance of age, so He can judge fully. Do you ever think about that? So that He can judge fully. He doesn't make baby Adam and baby Eve. He makes Adam a mature man so that He can have accountability with him. So that He can show to him that the second covenant, because I believe and teach that the first covenant that God makes is the covenant of grace. I believe the first covenant is the covenant of grace, then the covenant of works that Adam fell and we all fell in him. But to show Adam, you can't do this. You need me. I can do this. So this is why Christ now comes mature. Verse 2. We'll go back to this later. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. He is a man. He hungered. 40 is an indicative time of testing in the Bible, used 146 times in Scripture. Moses, 40 years in Egypt, 40 years shepherding in the desert, 40 days on Mount Sinai receiving the law, 40 years wandering in the desert for people that were rebellious. Ezekiel, 40 days on his side, on his right side. Elijah, 40 days without food and water on Mount Horeb. And 40 years after the initiation of Jesus' ministry, the temple was destroyed. Again, touching his humanity, he was hungry. This is the contrast. Adam was tested on a full stomach, like Pastor said, before a great banquet in a wonderful paradise that he calls us to be with him in the future. In a pristine, luscious, fruit-filled garden in Eden, what the first Adam failed in Eden, bringing about cosmic treason. Everything falls apart and we are in decay. I've been in dialogue with a self-proclaimed atheist the last two nights over the second law of thermodynamics, proving that we are in decay and disorder. And this is wonderful to know, so that we cannot lose our place in the public square. We've given it up long enough. And that's why they've overrun us, and they're trying to treat us like an Indian reservation and keep us in our churches and not go out into the marketplace and say that there is a God, that He loves you, and He sent His Son for you. And if you want to deny this, really? Do you really think you can? Look at the date and everything that is stamped with it, proclaiming His gospel. And every time I bring that up, they get nasty. I take him to it. Look at the date. What's today? And they figure it out, and they tell me it's irrelevant. No, it's not irrelevant. For all of BC and AD, it's all His history, His story. And He holds us accountable as mature men, as He did Adam and us. It's inescapable. His gospel is everywhere. I'll tap on my phone now to see the time so I can catch up with it, and I'll see the date. It's in every newspaper, every book, every article you're ever reading. It's before us. And now the second Adam, Jesus begins to redeem until the new heavens and the new earth. That's how bad it is. That's how much in decay it is. That we need new heavens and new earth. That is the cosmic treason. Verse 3. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. Shortcuts. Disgusting shortcuts. What Adam failed in a very good strength, Jesus excels in human vanquished strength. Same satanic cunning question to put in doubt God's authority. Did God say? Yes, He did. And it doesn't depend on you believing it. It is what He says. Whether you believe it or not, doesn't matter. It's insignificant. Jesus never said, God said so, I believe it, therefore it should... No. He says it. Over 1,900 times in the Bible, thus says the Lord. He doesn't wait for our agreement. All we agree to by faith in His gift of grace is confession. We repent and we say, Oh Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In Cuban, punti aparte. Done. It is done. And here is a key word. But when I learned to read a little bit of Greek, this just opened my mind. This word, if you are the Son of God. This word if, and the Greek is A-E-I. And it is the same word, since. Now do you see the importance of it? Now do you see why I said first shortcut, ugly shortcut? Because He's telling, since you are the Son of God, make food. Shortcome. Don't suffer. Don't be weakened. As man is weak. But He was to identify with us. To rescue us from our weaknesses, all of our weaknesses. And He's telling him to do. He was to do His Father's will. Turn these stones into bread. Here is the active obedience of Christ for us. He keeps the law for us, even through in precarious weakness, precarious weaknesses. Verse 4, And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He spars with Satan with the edge of the sword, the word of God. We are as conscious and cognitive of every word. That's what we are to be. Conscious and cognitive of every word. And ask God to help us in doing so. Because in our fallen state, in our marred state, of sanctification, we can't. Aren't you glad He did for us? We forget. We're forgetful. And we go back to our selfish ways. We are to be all about every word that falls out of the very mouth of God. When you read it, when you hear it preached by us, it is not just us that you hear, but God Himself. Therefore, heed His word, as if you were hearing Jesus. Calvin said, The Bible is the vox dei, the voice of God. This is our manna, the heavenly sustenance for eternal life that starts here. And I learned that from my first pastor that I told you last week I got to spend some time with last Saturday. I remember that, learning that from him. Heaven starts here. The minute you are redeemed, heaven starts here. Start enjoying it here. It's not just for the future. Heaven starts here. Then secondarily, we eat bread to go on for His glory in the temple, the here and now. The fifth verse. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This gives us a little glimpse into the first Adam. That Satan can take him and show him in a moment of time all of the kingdoms of the world. That's why Adam can name all of the animals under the ground, on the ground, and above the ground in a moment of time. That is the very good state that God created us in. Boy, have we fallen far from that. So this is giving you an indication of what that very good Adam was kind of like of. Because here he is, perfection now, for us. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. That was because of cosmic treason. And to the victor in Eden went the spoils to Satan. Temporarily. Because it was all to show that it was never our works, but His works for us. And we suffer for it. Dear brothers, His demons bothered and buffeted Jesus extremely. What makes you think He won't mess with us? Job stands before seven graves and says, Blessed is God who gives and takes, but blessed be the name. Blessed. Through tears and pain, still darkened by the ashes He poured on His head, but blessed be. Because it's in that give and take that we see that all we need is Him. He bears us naked before Him so we can cling to Him and be embraced lovingly. That's why His mercies are new every single morning. Boy, do we need them. And Paul, when Paul says that there is a little thorn in the flesh, I don't know why the translators translate it like that. The word for that is a tent spike. So hold your tent. Those suckers are about 3 feet long. Have you seen the speed of wind in deserts? You imagine the length of the spike, and that's what he's saying. This spike was given, was piercing me. God have mercy on me. 3 times. My grace is sufficient, for in your weakness I am glorified, because I am your strength. Not you, my works. Luther, do you think this great Reformation that we're celebrating, the 500th anniversary, came at a mild cost? Luther was so perturbed and bothered that he threw an inkwell at Satan and hit the wall. Me. You don't think I stumble? You don't think I'm pressured? Do you know how many people I have baptized myself in the faith? None. I've never dipped and dunked anybody in the waters. But I have friends that I have led to Christ by my proclaiming of the gospel that have baptized dozens. Don't you think that Satan and his demons were reporting to him or had knowledge of the people that were being inclined to listening to me and visiting me at my studio, like Carlos Cuba, that the Wednesday night he's told, listen, don't go see Oscar at a photographer's guild meeting. That guy's a religious nut. Do you know where Carlos was the next morning? At my studio, asking me about God. Or other photographers, our dear friend Julio. He's baptized people, many more people than I have. And has led to Christ many more people than I have. Do you not think? Satan doesn't know the future, but he sees the things that are going around. He is very observant. He was looking at Eve and saw the weaker link. He studies. And he sees how God is setting up things. It's a chess game. And you can foretell some moves. Not all of them. For he is God's lackey, but he is looking. And you are in the same boat. The high emphasis we pastors, elders, teachers, and leaders place on God's grace, Satan hates. Like Pastor said last week in the Spanish sermon, which he has a little more time. What we stand for here in Tamiami Baptist, our high stand on grace is scandalous. Because everybody, by their sinful nature, is caught up with works or checking for works. We're not fruit checkers. We have no idea the intent of that heart projecting outwardly and what that fruit is. We don't know that. Don't go there. Expect them. I expect them from you. I don't expect you, any of you, hurting me. But yet, the greatest offense, the greatest hurt that I have experienced have come from dear brothers and sisters in the church and some pastors. Please. God's job. Christ gives to us dust from creatures. We're from dust. And sits us with Him in heavenly thrones. Satan hates that we teach that we are saved by grace and kept by grace and never our works. For even our best works are marred by our sinful nature until glorification. That is why the human heart, even the saved human heart, is an idol factory. So be careful. Satan studies our weaknesses. So what is your weakness? Power? Sexual lust? Opposite sex attraction? Same sex attraction? Asexual, like what the Mercado says he is? Whatever your problem is sexually. Food, you compensate your anxiety with food. Drinking, I told you, alcohol is not a problem for me. I don't even like it too much. Actually, there's a lot of that I don't like at all. And the stuff that I like, it's not good for you because it's like Coke. It's sweet. I like the sweet wine. My problem is Coca-Cola. You laugh. But it's my struggle. And I thank God that none of you is wearing red and white today. But my wife can attest. What happens if there's no Coke and she forgets to bring Coke jugs from Publix? Please. Please. Hoarding money? What's it going to do there? A little interest? And God might take you home? And you won't even enjoy the interest? Oh, come on. I have a son that loves motorcycles like I have. One of the things we share, because I'm not a normal guy. I don't like sports. I can't relate to you guys talking of football and all this stuff. My heroes do their work at 200 miles an hour in fireproof suits. I don't like men in tights that celebrate slapping each other's behind because they crossed some ball over a line. I appreciate these men that risk their necks so that I can have good working brakes, that I can have gasoline that is efficient, that I can have cars that are aerodynamic, and I'm not a speed demon. Those of you that know me know that I drive 5 minutes below the speed limit. So it's not about that, but I appreciate all that because we benefit from that. I still have not benefited anything, and I have my sports fans there knocking me down. I still haven't benefited anything from football or baseball. You know, I don't see what... And the great one, and the stuff that we've created, and we covered all these things. I have some pictures from old customers that I can't throw away because artistically they have value to me. My wife says we have strangers in the walls of our house. And we do. And coveting, oh boy, we all fall by that one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. You see, His righteousness and His obedience was just as necessary in His atoning on our behalf. Could have Jesus sinned? Those that say no argue that from eternity past, it was ordained that He would not sin. And that is true. That's a good position. I just don't see all the weight on there. Because of the eternal decree of God, he would have not sinned. Others say, and I like this a little better, that he could have sinned. We need to differentiate from the necessity of consequence and the necessity of consequence. In terms of the consequence, considering his human nature, he could have sinned. For he was fully man. Because of Christology issue. When you say, this is God incarnate, and God can't sin, God incarnate has two natures, the God and the human nature. Though you can't divide them, you must distinguish them. Jesus hungered, thirsted, sweated, cried, died as a man. But if you think that in the mystery of the incarnation, the divine nature overpowered the human nature to make it impossible for the human nature to sin, you fall into a very old and lethal heresy. The monophysite heresy. The Christ's two natures were united and not distinct. That the divine nature got imputed to the human nature, touching Jesus' human nature was a real human nature, with all of the limitations that go with human nature. Touching his human nature, Jesus had the ability to sin, because if not, he would not have been truly man. But being the second Adam, and here's where it all works out. But being the second Adam in perfect humanity, he will not sin for us. He does this for us, to take our place for us, to perfectly impute unto us all his works of righteousness. If not, this all would have been a farce. Satan is tempting Jesus with skipping the painful cross, an embarrassment of arrest, the illegal trial, the scourging of the cross, the scourging and the cross, all this pain, death and burial, by asking Jesus just for a slight genuflection to him before the Father. Satan forgets he is but just for now the prince of the air and has nothing of his own to give the king of the universe. Malek Ayim. Satan is against our perfect salvation by God himself for us. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The Lord's Prayer states that the power and the glory is God's alone. And brought him to Jerusalem and set him before the pinnacle in the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down and hence. For it is written, thou shalt give his angels over to keep thee, and in their hands shall bear up, unless time dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus knows who he is. And to do so, he would have broken the law by testing God. He fulfills all the laws, all righteousness. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, very important, not only written, but even the spoken law, he fulfills. And we need to be acute to that. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He came back and helped drive those nails on that cross to hang him naked in full embarrassment for us. This is the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Please stand for the benediction. May God the Father bless you and keep you. May God the Son lift his countenance before you, that you may feel his loving embrace through his Holy Spirit. For you are his, and he is ours. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.